Kellyanne Kenny and Nathaniel Arnone had an idea to start a nonprofit to bring children together to recognize their talents, accept differences, and thrive. The Youth Enrichment Project in Luzerne County is the result of the brother and sister duo who believe strong communities are much better when people are inspired to come together and get involved. Nate Arnone takes the story from here.
The Youth Enrichment Project started out as we were just serving children. And since we kind of decided to do that, we've grown into an agency that is now serving the community and serving families and really looking at how we could go into our communities and impact people's lives and change them. Our programs initially were for children, and we still do that. We help kids get involved in sports and dance and things like that. We have our pantry, which is after hours on the weekends, just to meet people where they're at, people who are working who maybe don't have easy access to it. And then we have our program that serves individuals with disabilities, get involved in the community, and really get the skills that they need to be independent in their lives.
Now, you are brother and sister, and you're young, and you started a nonprofit organization. Kelly, tell me the reason why you decided to do this.
Okay, so the reason why we decided to start the Youth Enrichment Project originally, it was actually during COVID times, and we saw the effects that it was having on them. And at the time, we noticed that families weren't able to afford, like, getting them into, like, football or soccer or dance or any type of extracurricular activity that would help them get in with their peers and be with the community. So we saw a need. So we decided to start the Youth Enrichment Project to kind of bridge a gap for that need, to get kids back out into the community with their peers during that weird COVID gap. So that's kind of how it started. And we started doing free community events for families, however that family looks for you, just so that people could come out and enjoy a day free of charge, have fun. They don't have to worry about any cost. So we started with a pool party and do that yearly at the Kingston Pool. And we had drinks and snacks and music and games and just some stuff for families to just come out, enjoy, and not worry about anything but being with each other.
What did the moms and dads see in their children that maybe they didn't see prior to coming to that party?
The pool party is just a day for the families to come out. Everybody loves a pool party. So if we're going to have an event, if we're going to have a pool party or an Easter egg hunt, we definitely do it the best that we can because we want everybody to have the greatest time. So with that, people really enjoy it. And you could tell the joy in the parents' faces being able to bring the kids out. So that's always really rewarding for us. And then the parents that are able to get their kids into the extracurricular activities are just so grateful. And they see the positive change in their kids that they're able to either start a new activity or continue an activity that they wouldn't be able to. So overall, it's a really positive experience.
This is all catered to the children, to the youth. So what are some of these positive changes that you see?
So I think one of the biggest things I see was in Kelly's daughter. She started to get involved in theater. And I saw such a change in her. This little kid just lit up and she was herself and she was with people that she could be herself with. And I just saw her be able to kind of come to life. So that's probably the biggest change that I saw, and really how I saw, okay, this is making an impact. This is what we need to be doing and working to get kids out and involved and in things that they enjoy doing.
COVID that you mentioned, Kelly, earlier on was a hard time for everybody because we didn't know what was going on. But, you know, you're hearing and you're reading now about how detrimental it has been for reading skills and even comprehension skills for children.
Yeah. So that was another thing, too. You don't know what was going to happen. All the kids were home, which was just a really crazy time in and of itself because they're so used to going to school every day and being with peers every day. And then for that to stop. I mean, I think initially the kids were super excited, right? Because they're out of school. So for them, it's like, this is amazing. But after a few weeks, it really started to take effect on the kids. So I think we immediately saw a need to get them back in. We found that when you have a kiddo that is able to participate in those types of sports and activities and they gain a confidence, you start to realize that the school dropout rate lessens, crime rates lessen. So there's so many positive impacts on having them out in there with their peers, which people I don't think realize that just, you know, playing football or doing theater or doing these things would have such a big impact on a youth's life, but it really does.
Whether it's the arts or whether it's sports, it's something that's different and it's something that's a new challenge for them.
Yeah, it is a new challenge, and it keeps them busy. It keeps them in a safe environment. They're not out roaming the streets or anything like that. They're in a very structured thing, and I think the structure is very important for any kid to have.
Taking a look at all these wonderful children that have had their confidence bolstered by being a part of this program, how do you think it's rubbed off on their parents?
I think that the parents are seeing what we're doing, and they love the mission. So we see a lot of volunteers and coming out to support their community. They're realizing that their communities have needs that they're able to fill the gap for. So it really brings everybody together. And I think that we want to create a positive environment for everyone, even if we're servicing the youth or the autism IDD community. We still want to have everybody included. We want to have families included. And it just helps everybody as a whole come, be together, and make an impact. Because it's not really us, it's everybody coming together.
That's what makes it happen, that wonderful universality and saying we're all on the same page with this. So where do you envision this nonprofit going in the years to come? Because both of you are very young. You have a lot ahead of you.
Now, I love that you say that. So thank you for saying that.
I know,
that.
It's such a nice compliment.
Yes, I feel like a spring chicken here. We're really hopeful. We love that we were able to expand and now doing the autism IDD community, which we love. And we just really hope to continue to grow, serve the populations that we need to serve. And we really hope that this is something that we can continue to build on and maybe one day pass down to our kids, because I have three kids and he's their uncle to them. So we're able to watch them see everything that we're doing, and they're growing a passion for helping others and volunteering. And that's super important too, because even our family members that our children are able to see this too. So we really hope one day, that we're able to just keep building. I don't think we've ever imagined we'd be here. I think we're humbled by the fact that we're here, because we just started off as a small little thing.
And because we are small, we are able to really go in and see things that we want to make an impact on and go in and make those changes. So when there's a need there, we can very quickly look at and say, how can we meet this need? When a family comes to us, even if it's something that maybe might be outside of what we do or what we're used to, we can really take a step back and say, okay, can we meet this need? How can we make a positive impact in these people's lives? And it's so cool to be able to do that. And then those same people who we've made an impact come in and now are volunteers for us and help us just expand our mission and help more families and more families. So I think as we grow, I think we just want to help as many people as we possibly could and really create a stronger community that's supporting to everyone.
Approximately how many volunteers do you have?
Everybody's really eager to volunteer, which we're really excited about. We have a lot of really good volunteers.
Parents too, when they come to us with something they're passionate about, we could find somewhere where they fit, where they love doing it. Like, we have volunteers that love doing crafts, so they'll help with that. We have volunteers that love organizing something, and they'll do that. We have a lot of dads who comes to us who are willing to do some of our food pantry work. So it really is kind of nice to be able to see where people fit and then watch them thrive as well.
Tell me about the food pantry, how that all started, and when did you see the need?
I think we started to see the need when we were over in our office in Kingston, and the kids were running by our office and stopping in for drinks and stuff, and we realized that we could meet this need. And then we just kind of started off small and thought, we'll try this. And from there, we kind of realized that a lot of families have difficulties getting to a traditional pantry. A lot of times they're running around after work. They need to stop somewhere quick. So we kind of started it and then said, okay, if we do after hours and we work on weekends, we'll really be able to meet the family needs that maybe have so many things going on or working full time. Because when we look at things like that, we're looking at families who are struggling, who are working full time. Mm-hmm. And they're not able to make ends meet. And sometimes just that little bit of help is all that they need. So I think that's what kind of inspired our food pantry and allowed us to give us the passion to make it something meaningful.
Now, is your food pantry in Wyoming?
It is, right on Wyoming Ave. We have it on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Sundays. And when people come in, they make choice on what they want. So whatever they need, they're able to take. And it's kind of just grab and go. They stop in, they get what they need, and we let them know our hours, and we usually see them week over week.
How do you get the things that you need in order to supply the public?
We do a lot of donations from our community, and then we're partnered with the Midwest Food Bank, who so graciously allowed us to come every week and get food and bring it back to the Wyoming Valley to serve those individuals.
So you're doing a lot of things. You're helping with the food pantry. You're helping children that may have some difficulties overcome those difficulties. You're helping children that maybe are kind of shy. They've never really had an opportunity to really show their colors. You're helping them to do that. So if you had to compartmentalize all of that, what kind of a nonprofit would you say it is? What kind of an umbrella would you put your nonprofit
under? I think I would say an umbrella term would probably be community service, because we really believe that if your community's stronger, then your lives are going to be stronger. So I would just think it's community service. And if we see a need, we try to fill it. Even if it's outside our scope, we put on our thinking caps and we say, how can we fill this need?
Now, both of you are doing phenomenal jobs on different fronts to keep this nonprofit going. But when you have to take a look at grants that you have to write, things that you have to do in order to keep moving forward, is that the most frustrating part of the job, or is that just part of what has to happen?
I think Kelly and I love a challenge.
Yeah.
And we get to learn. So when something is in front of us and we don't understand it, we get to come together and say, okay, how do we look at this? How do we learn from this? And how do we accomplish it? And I think that working with your sibling, it's very cool to be able to do that and really learn together and grow together.
Now, because you're brother and sister, do you ever have disagreements about certain decisions or certain programs? And how do you deal with
that? Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's important to know you're not always going to get your way. Like, you're just not. Like, there are times that I'm so frustrated because I think I have a good idea. No, I do have good ideas, and they get shut down. And then I'm sure you're frustrated at times because you're like, this is a good idea, but it gets shut down. Because we do have a board, so that's helpful. So we vote on decisions, which is nice. So it's not always brother and sister, you know, fighting each other on like ideas. We definitely are on the same page. We have the same vision, but there's obviously different ways on getting there. So we really think about it. We talk about it. We ask others about it. We bring it to our board, and that's kind of how.
Yeah. I mean, there are disagreements. We do. Yeah. We both have different perspective on things. And I think that sometimes when we have an idea, we kind of have to have an understanding with each other that maybe it's a good idea, but just not something that can happen right now. So I think that through this nonprofit, we've also had to learn that about each other and how to work with each other in a professional way. Mm-hmm. Kelly has always been very protective of me, even as a baby.
He's my little brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, even from coming home from the hospital, she wouldn't leave my side.
Yeah.
So I think as we've grown in our lives, in our adulthood, we've learned to communicate with each other and trying to figure out where we're going and what we're doing and how we accomplish a common goal.
I agree. It's also our passion. We love it. So it's fun to kind of grow together in that way because we're one of six. Neat is right after me. So Neat's my closest sibling. So Neat was the first sibling I had under me. So Neat was like the baby, you know, that my mom brought home. So that was so exciting for me. So I think that we always shared a special bond and we think alike a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And we have the same goal. So even if the path to the goal is different, we both have the same goal. So getting there is just the most important thing.
What was your inspiration to start this particular nonprofit organization? Why this type of organization?
So that's two-parted because for the Youth Enrichment Project, the part where we help the youth, just as Neat was saying, my daughter got into theater for the first time. And I didn't even know she liked theater. I didn't even know she would thrive at theater. And when she joined, I saw this excitement in her that I have never seen before. And I just started thinking about all the kids that like would never get the opportunity due to not being able to financially afford it. And I'm like, well, these kids have these passions and these talents that are going to go wasted. Like, we have to figure this out. And I called Neat, and that was it. We started brainstorming, and we hit the road running. And then when we're doing the autism IDD services, we also see a need for community involvement and a need for acceptance. I still think that there's a huge misconception and stigma that we're trying to break. And I hope that we do break because we're working really hard to do that. And we just really want to get the, you know, support the autistic IDD population. And that's a passion of ours, too. So we just decided that was the next step after doing the youth. It was Nate's idea originally. I was a little hesitant because I was like, can we do this? I've never done this. He's always done that. It's just amazing. It's so rewarding. And we love it.
So, Nate, you're the one that got the ball rolling then. Basically, you encouraged your sister. Let's get this done. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think it was my idea. And Kelly's definitely my kind of safeguard and is the person to say, Nate, can we do this? Like, let's stop and think about this. We can move fast or we can do this right. And let's look on how we do this and how we serve individuals to the best of our abilities. So I think that doing that, we really built a program that I'm proud of that serves people well and really gives them the abilities and the skills to be as independent as possible and really live lives that are fulfilled with passion and enthusiasm. And I think that that is something that we've really tried to put in an effort to make that possible. I think for sometimes for us too, we're in it. And we always don't get to take a step back and realize how joyful it is, how grateful we are that we get to work together. We have a passion for serving people. So that brings us joy. So every day we get to go to work and spread joy and be joyous in what we do and really help people.
How do you help people overcome things that they believe are going to be challenges forever and make them feel a little bit better, maybe give them that different way of thinking? How do you do that?
First, I think it's important that we look at someone and look at what they want for their life, what their goals, where they see themselves, and that those challenges, that we break them down. We look at those barriers and we say, okay, how do we overcome this first obstacle and do it little by little? Because it's a marathon. So I think that that's how we look at people and how we try to assist them. I think that there are so many parents who are having a difficult time, who aren't connected, who feel like they're on an island by themselves. So if there was a way that I could kind of go in there and connect them with people and show them that these are challenges that everyone faces and that you're not alone and that raising a kid is hard. It's not easy. But I don't know what that looks like, but that would be my goal.
I would love to create a safe space that's just for parents with kiddos who are autistic to come. The parents can get together, hang out, and the kids, it's a huge sensory room for the kids, and the parents can come and bring their kiddos who are on the spectrum to come and just enjoy, run, play, and get their energy out. And then the parents can come together and then build those relationships with each other. Because like you said, some parents do feel like they're on an island and they're by themselves. So just creating that space for the parents to get together and then the kids.
And I think that goes like right along with our community, because so many of the things that we do, it's people supporting people. We look at it and all of the people that we serve have resources that they share with each other. They share them with us.
A lot of people also don't know the resources that are out there. So I think that we definitely want to spread the word about the resources because there's so many things that can help people, but they don't know. So.
Yeah, even like just where to start. Yeah. I think that's like a huge challenge.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the same question. I want you to answer it separately. What gives you the most joy in your job? Because both of you walked in here and you were absolutely filled with joy and enthusiasm. What does it for you?
I think what brings me the most joy is just knowing that you're making a difference in whatever way that you're able to. I think it's just really important to give where you can and to give the extra that you have and to make such a difference in somebody else's life. It's so empowering. And the joy comes from the joy of others. So knowing that you've impacted them in a positive way, I mean, there's nothing better. I can't think of anything better than that.
How about you, Nate?
I look at people's success and not their success right now, but their potential for success. So when a kiddo gets involved in a sport and I know that their chances of success in adulthood is increased, or one of our individuals, I know that we're going to work through some of their issues and that they're going to be more independent, that I know that there's potential. And I think that's what brings me so much joy, is knowing the potential that people have and helping them find the resources and the skills and the tools to accomplish that.
That's a tough job sometimes, though. I mean, you might have somebody coming to you with circumstances that are very hard to match. And so you might have some difficulty finding or matching them up with other agencies or other resources to help them out. So what do you do in a situation like that?
There are some people that come to us with challenges that just seem overwhelming. And I think, again, it's kind of starting from the beginning, looking at what we can fix today. What are our goals going to be maybe in a week? What are they going to look like in a month? And that they're living in it right now. But there is a way out. And there are things we'll find and we'll put in place. Those challenges, that's how I really look at them. People love to come to me sometimes and talk. And I think just having someone there who's willing to listen and willing to see them where they're at and not judge them for maybe some of the choices that they made that they would have changed if they could, but really just to say, okay, like we're here now, but let's move forward because we can.
What were some of the most difficult situations that you had to deal with, but yet you saw success?
I've seen a lot of difficult situations. And most of the time, we see success. Those little things that they're doing every day to improve their lives. And then like running into someone a year after you worked with them and to just see the changes that they've made. It's incredible.
I think also when you're working with the autism IDD community, it is so cool to see them just master any skill. So say, for example, they're not able to write their name and you work with them and they're able to write their name. Something little like that is a huge success. And I think that we really need to redefine what success is or what people think is success. Because those little things that for me are, you know, I can write my name, I can do those things. But to somebody who can't and learning that skill, it's a huge success. So it's just little by little, we're just building these things. And it doesn't always look like what other people would think that it would look like. But you really have to measure success to those things. And we're seeing a lot of that.
We work with our individuals team. So there's doctors, there's nurses, there's behavior specialists, and we kind of play a role on that team. But it's those little changes every day, working with the doctors, getting their treatment plan correct, working with the behavior specialists to really look at how we're going to address situations and things like that. I love working with the teams. Then to start making progress.
What was the most groundbreaking situation that occurred for each of you that you knew that this was the right thing to do?
I think recently, usually Kelly and I will, on my way to work, we'll have a phone call. That's when it hits me the most, when we are planning our days and going in different directions and comparing calendars. And just like, wow, we get to work together every single day to make an impact in the community. And that is like the wow factor for me.
I don't think that we realize the amount, right? Because it's obviously the quality over quantity. But when you're able to sit down and really go through those numbers and say like, okay, for our pantry, we were able to just service 450 families, we realized. Or if like a client gets a new goal or you see kiddos, like their parents posting them in the sport that they love, it's a combination. So I think more and more it's just validated and confirmed that this is what we should be doing.
This week when you were like, we sent 25 kids to camp.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell, we sent 25 kids to camp this week.
And I got to visit the kids at camp and they were having so much fun and just enjoying it. And their parents were so grateful. They got to do all the activities and camp out.
It's interesting, too, that you're talking on the telephone saying, can you imagine what we've done? You've really accomplished something important. You're helping people that are looking for somebody to give them that courage to move forward. And each of you have it inside of you to do that.
I just really love people. Yeah, I just really love them. And I want everybody to be able to be the best versions of themselves, however that looks. Giving and helping have always just been in my nature. So it's what I love to do. And it's not about numbers to us. We really want to provide quality care because the people really matter to us. And I think that's probably one of my biggest strengths, but also as like, a unity.
How about you, Nate?
I kind of think the same as Kelly. I think it's my love for people and my love for helping people. So I think that's the biggest strength that I bring to the table is that when someone walks through the door, they're going to get some of my time.
What would be that secret sauce that you could tell people about your nonprofit organization that makes it so successful?
You just can't give up. And there's always going to be mistakes made. There's always going to be huge hurdles. If you believe in your mission, you just have to keep going.
Special thanks to Kellyanne Kenny and Nathaniel Arnone, co-founders of the Youth Enrichment Project of Luzerne County. Doing the right things for the right reasons to keep families and communities together. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.